Welcome back, friends. Today and for the next few episodes, Sarah and I have the distinct honor and privilege of considering a little bit the infancy narratives from the point of view and inspiration of St. Matthew and St. Luke. I'll go ahead and tell you up front, it's going to be heavy on Matthew and small but insightful from Luke. Slight, of course, to the great Saint Luke, but that's just how my library rolls around here.
There we go then.
All right. I think it's always helpful to talk about basic principles. And so the first one was going to be, what is the difference between theologian and a religious study? And that distinction is imperative.
Where's my scripture? Here it is.
When we talk about sacred scripture. So between a theologian and religious study, that aspect is faith. And that's the same thing that occurs when we're reading sacred scripture. Sarah and I are approaching this with the deposit of faith, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We aren't coming at this as just another, you know, book on the shelf, whatever that might be, which are all religious where I can reach. But, you know, we aren't just approaching this as a study in biology. And in fact, it's an active living faith. Dave Earboom, so I'm a wave a few books as I want to do, Sarah and I want to do. So this would be our first one. Dogmatic Constitutional and Divine Revelation. Paragraph 5 talks about it's an active living faith. So it's all that's important. And from paragraph 16 in Dave Earboom, we know that the author is the Holy Spirit. So he is the, you know, the one behind St. Matthew and St. Luke. Men genuinely cooperate with the Holy Spirit. They are not robots. I have seen some who have millions of followers engage in this concept, and maybe in your youth or so forth, you've encountered automatic writing. That's the kind of writing that purportedly occurs with using the Ouija board. And so that's what that is called, automatic writing. And that's where someone goes into a trance, they do not know what's going on, and something or another comes out, and we are left to start speculating what's going on. The authors of sacred scripture, their free will is not compromised. Their masculinity, their heritage, their culture, none of that is violated in any sort of way. The Lord takes that and purifies it of any error, so no error is in scripture. But they haven't gone into some sort of a trance thing. Truth, of course, so fides et ratio, faith and reason, two ways to get to truth. When we're reading sacred scripture, and so we're going to come straight into this when we start seeing infancy narratives, where we seem to have a problem in sacred scripture, I call them speed bumps, for lack of a better term. And it's an excellent time to enter a deeper relationship with our Lord. And this is where that aspect of faith comes in, as opposed to some sort of religious study where you just kind of, you can do all kinds of things. If it causes one to go wobbly on doctrine, so you're reading along, you see this, and you see that, and you start to have a problem reconciling it. Do the Francis de Sales thing. You step back. You know, you don't engage in the moment of temptation. You rely on our Lord. And then you ask him to teach and to resolve it over time. At this point in my life, I really do look forward to those moments because I know I'm going to get a nugget I hadn't had before. But at the beginning, you know, at the beginning, or if you're in the midst of, frankly, other temptations, that can at times seem an insurmountable opportunity.
Yeah, I think also it's helpful to humble yourself a little bit and admit the fact that if you're having this difficulty reading the Bible in 2020, that surely somebody in the past 2020 years has also stumbled across that same complexity or that same, you know, seeming controversy. And so most likely, as you said, you know, when you pray about it and you find discernment, you will find that somebody has already walked through those problems. And that is where faith comes in, that, you know, we believe that the church has been divinely inspired by God and that it cannot teach error. So we always have the recourse of, like even referring to the dogmatic constitution on the laity, right? I mean, there are resources for us that have been given to us before. Obviously, we have to discern through those now as well, but there are resources that help us to get through any seeming difficulty, because truly that's all that it is. It's the appearance of difficulty when really it's not. I mean, most of it is on us. We have to humble ourselves. And I think really in this time frame, we are unfortunately living in a very arrogant generation that does not want to admit its own flaws, but rather thinks that, you know, we're better, that somehow we have come to a level of more goodness, more intelligence, more insight than the generations that have preceded us, which is really requires us to humble ourselves.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Maybe this will be a good stopping point. The first, we're going to go straight into controversies, and I will rely a little bit on a history of the synoptic problem. And Sarah so rightly said that there are those who've come before us who've encountered and dealt with these issues. And one such person is Augustine. Yes. So he is ever a fruit in season. Right. All right, my friends. Till the next time, fides et ratio.